Welcome to the Jerry Robinson Radio Show, where we spend an hour every week confronting the lies of the age. With Jerry Robinson, the Chief Economic Strategist for Makers Group Financial and the founder and director of Jerry Robinson Ministries International, a Christian nonprofit organization dedicated to challenging believers to think and thinkers to believe. As a trained economist and ordained Christian minister, Jerry is the key economic speaker at the Stealing the Mind Bible Conferences, a columnist for WorldNet Daily, and the author of the best-selling book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. And now your host, Jerry Robinson.
Thanks, Jay. Great to be here. Well, welcome once again to this week's edition of the Jerry Robinson Show. It's a weekly radio program intentionally designed to educate, equip, and empower you, the listener, on the important geopolitical, economic, and cultural trends that are literally reshaping our world each and every day. You know, before we get kicked off with the show, I got to tell you, there's a couple of brand new things that are happening right here at our organization. First of all, we've just released our most recent DVD. It's entitled Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis. In it, we release for the very first time a very interesting look at the savings allocation that we've been talking about now for many months here at our ministry. And for the very first time, we are putting it into a chart and a graph. You will not believe, Jay, you were there whenever I delivered this message. We actually showed the charts of how the diversifying the savings with precious metals, foreign currencies, and of course, U.S. dollar-denominated assets, what it did to the return on the savings, not the investment, the savings. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. First time I saw that chart, it actually made me mad because I've just been doing the savings the way, the traditional way, you know, just put the money in the bank, put it in a 401k, and then looking at that chart, I was like, I've been wasting my money.
What was so amazing about that chart is the fact that it was not that these other areas are making so much money. It was that we were losing so much purchasing power in our own U.S. dollar that by simply moving part of our savings away from the dollar, we were able to maintain purchasing power. So it wasn't like you were earning, you know, 60-70%, you know, and just earning this outrageous amount. But instead, you were actually protecting your purchasing power. And that's really what savings is. It should be about.
Yeah, unfortunately, instead of losing power.
Yeah, and unfortunately, many people who are saving dollars right now are basically not even treading water. They're losing because of inflation. Also, we have a new announcement. We have our newest webinar that's just been scheduled for April 22nd. It's going to be a Thursday evening at 7 p.m. We have my good friend Tom Cloud, who has been a precious metals dealer for 3 decades. He's going to be joining me for a two-hour webinar, a free webinar that you'll be able to tune into. You can go to our website at jrmi.org. That's www.jrmi.org and register. It's free. You can join us for free that evening. We'll be spending time answering your questions about gold and silver and maybe some of these other metals as well that you might have questions about. But is now a good time to be getting in? Is now the right time? Have the prices gone too high? What's going to happen in the future? You know, Tom, I think we'll kind of defer to him and see what he has to say. He's been in the business for 30 years. He's told people not to buy before. He's told people to buy at other times. And we'll be looking forward to his insights as he shares them with us. And, of course, every week here at the Jerry Robinson Show, I'm joined by one of the original coordinators for the National Tea Party Movement and the Community Outreach and New Media Director for JRMI. Let me introduce my good friend, Jay Blevins. Jay, great to have you here today.
As always, it's great to be here with you again, Jerry. We've got a really, really great show this week. Obviously, we always start with our weekly wrap and some great stories on that. We have a really interesting interview this week with Jeff Lazalier, former on-air TV personality here in Tulsa, but also a insurance and benefit planning specialist for Lazalier Consulting Incorporated, which is an insurance firm that helps small and medium-sized businesses in Oklahoma develop employee benefit packages at no additional cost to the business. So basically, he's really tied in with the insurance industry and how it works. And he'll be talking to us today about the impact of the new national health care law that was just passed, as well as the Insure Oklahoma plan that we have here in Oklahoma. And then following that, of course, will be Jerry's commentary. This week it's entitled America's Growing Social Insecurity. And Jerry will be talking to us about the Social Security bubble that is apparently getting ready to burst. Don't want to miss that one. It's going to be a great, great commentary this week. And then we'll follow that up with our final segments that we do every week, the Road to One World Currency, and a great question of the week this week from one of our listeners about hyperinflation. All right, and let's go ahead and start off with the weekly wrap. Welcome to the weekly wrap, where we get Jerry's commentary and take on the most pressing and important news stories from around the globe for the previous week. And we're going to start this week with an interesting story from TheHill.com. The story is entitled Greenspan: Nation Faces Mountain of Debt That It Has Never Seen Before. Alan Greenspan, our former head of the Federal Reserve, cautioned Friday that the U.S. faces a mountain of debt the likes of which the country has never seen before. In an interview with Bloomberg Television, Greenspan warned that the debt could dampen the economic recovery. He said there is basically this huge overhang of federal debt which we've never seen before. Now, Jerry, it seems almost stunning to me that Greenspan would be coming out and saying this when, you know, we both know that he contributed to this mess for years.
Alan Greenspan is really quite an interesting guy, Jay. I mean, let's not forget that Alan Greenspan was the Federal Reserve Chairman when Ronald Reagan tripled the national debt during the 1980s, when Bush doubled it again from 2000 to 2008. And he didn't leave until 2006 from the Fed. You know, and now that Obama, who's a Democrat, is in the White House, Greenspan has turned into this born-again deficit hawk. I mean, give me a break. I mean, this guy has presided over many of the problems that we've seen up until this point. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, however, Alan Greenspan was a devoted disciple of Ayn Rand. And Rand was a strongly opinionated libertarian. In 1967, she penned a book. It was a nonfiction book called Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal. And in it, she included an essay written by Alan Greenspan back in the 60s called Gold and Economic Freedom. And in the essay, Greenspan argues persuasively in favor of a gold standard and against the concept of a central bank. I have a quote here from his essay from her book, and I want to read this part. It says, listen to this language. It almost sounds like it's coming from one of our guests off of our show. This is Alan Greenspan. It says, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from the confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make it holding it illegal, as was done in the case of gold. It says the financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. And he finishes with this. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty in understanding the statist antagonism towards the gold standard. So, very interesting view of Alan Greenspan here, who later, obviously, puts on his monkey suit and begins to play the Washington game. If anyone has their finger on the pulse of what's happening economically in the country, it's Alan Greenspan. And ironically, his policies, in large part, have gotten us into the mess that we are now, Jay.
Yeah. All of this from the guy who's known for the Greenspan doctrine of cut rates and print more money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's sitting there complaining about the mess that he helped create.
A new deficit hawk, apparently.
Oh, yeah. All right. Our next story comes from CNBC.com. It's another story about Greece. It says here that Greece will issue a dollar-denominated global bond. Greece is going to issue a global U.S. dollar-denominated bond in late April or early May, the head of the country's debt agency said on Wednesday. Now, Jerry, I really don't even grasp the concept of this. Why would Greece issue a bond denominated in U.S. dollars?
Well, it's based on perception, but here's the thing. You know, Greece has a total borrowing need right now of about $71 billion, or if we put that in euros, it's about 53 billion euros. Since day one, we have been arguing on the show against the doomsday scenario that was basically that Greece's debt problems would lead to the end of the European Union. You remember this. You remember seeing this on CNBC and all the talk, you know, the radio and the talk shows. They were saying, oh my gosh, Greece, its debt, it's going to lead to a collapse of the euro. Now, whether Greece will be forced out of the eurozone or not is a different issue. I have no clue. If Greece is going to have higher borrowing costs, obviously they probably will. But Greece is not going to cause the entire EU and the euro currency to fail. And I think one of the things we need to see from this, obviously, is that the European Central Bank, which presides over Greece, has a very difficult job. Think about this for a minute, Jay. The Federal Reserve is responsible for all 50 states. It has to deal with Maine. It has to deal with California. None of those states can print their own money. Right.
Right.
So if they get into, like, California has this major deficit, right? It's major, major problems. Michigan has a major deficit. Illinois. Okay. These states have problems, and they can't print their own money. They can't set their own interest rates. They have to rely upon the Fed to do all this. Well, that's obviously a very difficult thing, but at least we all speak the same language, right?
Right.
At least exactly. We all have the same basic financial philosophy. Over in Europe, we have Greece, we have Portugal, we have Italy, we have Ireland, we have Spain, we have France, Germany. These people don't even speak the same language. You know, they used to have their own currencies. They all have their own financial philosophies, and the European Central Bank is responsible for making sure that all of these foreign nations work together with a single currency, with a single interest rate, and it's a very, very, very challenging task. But this task has been commissioned upon them after 5 or 6 decades of planning. It's the template for regional currencies. You know, the Arab Union, as we're going to talk about here momentarily, is talking about moving towards a European Union-style union. Asia has been talking about creating some sort of a single currency for the Asian unions. Africa has been talking about an African union with a single currency modeled on the euro. The euro is the prototype. The euro is the model. And for that reason alone, it must stand. And I think that as we go forward, we're going to see that. But Greece obviously is doing what it can to raise money, and I think Greece in the long run will be fine, Jay.
All right. Well, again, like I said, I didn't understand that. Thanks for explaining it. So now that I kind of have a grasp on that, it looks like that we're going to be seeing more and more of these regional currencies popping up here and there. All right, our next story is our weekly China story. As usual, we have interesting information from China. This one comes from Bloomberg, and it says that China and the U.S. are on a collision course. The U.S. and China are on a collision course over the value of the Chinese currency, and investors are underestimating the disruptions for global financial markets, according to Nouriel Roubini. He says the risk of a collision course on China's currency peg and a wider trade rift between the world's largest debtor and creditor nations has risen significantly in recent months. Now, Jerry, what do you see happening with this butting of heads continually on the basically, like we said last week, the pot calling the kettle black about the...
Well, we continue to hear, Jay, this rhetoric of tension between China and the U.S. And currently China, as I think the story mentions, is pegging its currency to the U.S. dollar and is thereby able to hold it at an artificially low level. And this makes their exports to other nations cheaper. Obviously, it makes their exports to us cheaper than they would be if China were to allow its currency to float freely on the global currency market. So at least that is the contention of the United States and of the United States manufacturing industry. Now, the Chinese government has been adamant that it will not give in to U.S. pressure or even international pressure to revalue its currency, which is called the yuan. This is probably especially true now that China is reporting, as we reported on this program not too long ago, that it's reporting its first trade deficit in 6 years. So now that it's underneath pressure, it's more than likely not going to be revaluing its currency to affect its trade deficit. Now, what we really have here in the making is a coming trade war between the greatest debtor nation, that being United States, and the world's greatest creditor nation, which is China. And if the tension continues to intensify, it will no doubt lead to attempts on duties on Chinese imports. Okay, so if that happens, it'll mean higher prices for all those Chinese imports that fill the aisles at the major discount retailers like Walmart and Target. All of those cheap manufactured things that are created in China, if our politicians slap duties on those because of this currency trade war, then what could happen is we could see higher prices at those low-priced retailers like Walmart. Jay?
Wow. It seems to me like basically China has the upper hand in this discussion, really.
Yeah, we'll see as we go forward.
All right. And our final story this week comes from Wired.com. It says the new RFID tag could mean the end of barcodes. Lines at the grocery store might become as obsolete as milkmen if a new tag that seeks to replace barcodes becomes commonplace. Researchers from Suncheon National University in Suncheon, South Korea, and Rice University in Houston have built a radio frequency identification tag that can be printed directly onto cereal boxes and potato chip bags. Now, this tag uses ink laced with carbon nanotubes to print electronics on paper or plastic, and basically allows you to just walk in, walk out, and be checked out. Now, Jerry, is this a precursor to maybe the Mark of the Beast?
Well, I mean, basically this RFID is, it's radio frequency, as you said, radio frequency identification. It's RFID. They track them using radio waves. These are itty-bitty little RFID chips, and they've been put into pets. This all started with tracking cattle a long time ago. They began using these to track cattle.
Right.
Then they started using them for criminals, right? You put a chip in a criminal because then you can track him if he were to escape from prison. They began chipping children. There was a Good Morning America. I remember seeing Diane Sawyer one morning, and she had the first lady, or not the first lady, but the very first person who actually had their child chipped with this RFID chip so they could be tracked. You never have another lost children or missing child again, because you can always find them with this RFID chip. And then products began using them as well. RFID in particular was in Gillette razors all over Walmart's. In fact, Walmart and the Department of Defense now have published requirements that all of their vendors place RFID tags in all shipments to improve the supply chain management. In grocery stores, already do not need cashiers or bag boys. I mean, when I walk into the grocery store lately, I mean, I walk in and half the time I put all the stuff in my cart, I get to the front, and there's this person who's standing there normally, and, you know, I'm putting all the stuff up on the conveyor belt, they're checking it, and then I'm having to swap my own cart, I'm having to bag my own groceries. I'm beginning to think, what is this person even here for? Well, RFID, imagine going to the grocery store, filling up your cart, walking right out the door. No longer will you have to wait in some line while someone rings up each item in your cart one at a time. Instead, these RFID tags will communicate with an electronic reader that will detect every item in the cart, ring each of them up almost instantly. The reader will then be connected to a large network that will send information on the products to the retailer and the product manufacturers. Your bank will then be notified of the amount of the bill. It'll be deducted from your account. No lines, no waiting. Big brother, it's kind of Orwellian, Jay.
Very Orwellian. And it's a little concerning to me that it's not just tags anymore, but it's ink. All right. Coming up after this break will be our guest interview with Jeff Lazalier. And you don't want to miss that. Of course, you want to listen to the radio show on the internet at www.jrmi.org. And be right back after this break.
What are you going to do when hyperinflation hits? With gold and silver prices making new highs over the last several months, many investors are beginning to turn their attention to the precious metals markets. Gold and silver can play an important role in balancing your investment portfolio, as it has traditionally offered a hedge of protection against out-of-control inflation, which may be on the horizon in the United States. While Makers Group Financial does not sell physical gold and silver, we do recommend an excellent precious metals dealer. His name is Tom Cloud, and his prices are outstanding. It's where I buy my gold and silver. If you would like to learn more about purchasing gold and silver, please contact Tom Cloud at 800-247-2812. Tell him that Jerry Robinson from the Jerry Robinson Show sent you, and he will throw in free shipping and free insurance on your order. Again, Tom Cloud, 800-247-2812. Be prepared for when hyperinflation hits.
The United States of America is in a state of financial emergency. Today, America's deficits are hitting all-time highs, the global credit crisis continues to worsen, and the U.S. money supply is expanding at a record pace, triggering widespread fears of coming inflation. How did America reach this level of economic chaos, and what can you do to protect yourself and your finances? In this hard-hitting 60-minute live presentation, well-known economist and best-selling author Jerry Robinson explains the real truth behind the falling U.S. dollar. You will learn, from a historical and political perspective, what is really happening to the U.S. dollar, why the U.S. dollar is on the brink of collapse, how the fall of the U.S. dollar may be leading to a one-world currency, when to expect the U.S. dollar to completely lose its value, and finally, You will learn where to invest in order to protect your finances from the coming collapse of the U.S. dollar. You cannot afford to miss this important presentation on one of the most pressing topics of our day. Arm yourself with the powerful information you need to protect yourself in these uncertain times. Order your copy of Jerry Robinson's latest DVD, Death of the Dollar, today. Call 918-827-JRMI. That's 918-827-5764. Or go online at www.jrmi.org.
Welcome back to the Jerry Robinson Show. I'm your host, Jerry Robinson, founder and director of JRMI and the chief economic strategist at Makers Group Financial. So great to have you here on the program. On March 23rd, 2010, President Barack Obama signed the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act into law. Then on March 30th, President Obama signed another reconciliation bill that made changes to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and it was called the Healthcare and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010. With a stroke of a pen, the federal statute created several new provisions regarding health care for Americans. If you're like me, you're looking at all this and you're just scratching your head saying, what is going on? Our next guest will attempt to untangle this mess and help you understand how these changes will impact business owners and employees and small business owners and medium-sized businesses. Jeff Lazalier is president and benefits planning specialist at Lazalier Consulting Incorporated, which is an insurance firm that helps small and medium-sized businesses develop employee benefit packages, usually at no additional cost to the business. Jeff, welcome to the Jerry Robinson Show. Thanks for taking time out of your hectic schedule today to join me.
Hey, Jerry. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. And as we all know, whenever the federal government creates legislation that is probably in excess of 2,000 pages, and that's what this law is that we're going to be discussing here for a few moments, it goes back to that famous phrase from the early to mid-90s, MIGO, my eyes glaze over. And I think that's what most Americans are doing after they've said, what in the world could they be thinking
Washington? As I've tried to research this, Jeff, it's got me more and more bogged down. I mean, I'm used to all this data, but this is just a mess. I mean, it's a wreck.
Absolutely. I mean, and who knows? 5-10 years down the road, it could mean a serious train wreck for our already bloated government spending. It likely will be because usually the legislature, the congressmen, and the senators, at the end of the day, don't have the wherewithal most of the time to continue to press forward with budget cuts and additional taxes or cuts in benefits that they've promised in advance. They don't follow through with it, seems to be the trend, at least the current trend.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Now, you are a busy guy. I mean, you're out there on the front lines helping small and medium-sized business owners, some who have just a couple of employees, others who have, dozens of employees, to kind of make sense of all this. And I really want to kind of tap into your brain for the next few minutes, several minutes, and kind of, we'll probably just be able to scratch the surface, but let's think about the average small business owner out there, and we'll also touch on the employee as well. I think people really want to know what's going to happen to healthcare now that the federal legislation has been signed into law by the president. What do you see on the near-term horizon? How is this going to affect healthcare as we know it today?
Well, that's a great question, Jerry, and I think if we had 2 or 3 weeks, we might be able to touch on the majority of stuff in the legislation,
right.
But we are limited in time. So the important thing to remember is there is a definite timeline put into place with this legislation. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, in total or in part, things are now going to happen because it is law in this country. That means we've got to start looking at it as if nothing's going to change in the near future. having said that, we know that there are people that were that had serious disagreements with this legislation in total or in part, and their next move is to try to find a way to repeal parts of the legislation or change it in certain directions. Now, having said that, let's go forward with our discussion as if this is not going to change, and this is the way it's set up right now. In reality, this health reform is predominantly health insurance reform, and it impacts everybody in the United States depending on which of the three categories you're going to fall in. Now, there could be a variety of subcategories, but let's just think of on big terms. Either you are an employee working for an employer who provides you with health insurance as an employee benefit, or you are an individual who does not have access to employer-based health care. Perhaps you work for someone and they don't offer health insurance right now, or perhaps you work for yourself, or perhaps you're out of work, you know, and you don't have access to an employer-based health care plan. That means you're in the individual market, or perhaps you can't get into that market because of pre-existing conditions. Thirdly, the third little group here, or not little group, it's growing all the time, are people that are 65 plus and eligible for Medicare, which is essentially the government's largest health insurance plan and a very rich one. That's why it's on the verge of going broke in the next few years. Mm-hmm. So this health reform, this legislation, has a long timeline. Starting now, within the next 6 months, things are going to go into place. And then you're going to start to see things happen rapidly every year between now and the year 2014. But what are we looking at within the next 6 months to the next year and 6 months?
Right.
For people on Medicare, they're going to actually be eligible. And again, it could be income-based. We don't know yet because the details are in the pudding of this legislation. But people on Medicare, 65-plus, that are using the Part D prescription drug plan are going to be eligible for a $250 rebate if they reach their donut hole, meaning their total prescription costs in a calendar year go in excess of $2,850. Now, that's a little bit. It's not enough to help some of these seniors that are on very expensive, high-dollar medications because their health is so bad. But it's a little help there. With regard to insurance reforms, the first thing this thing's going to do within 6 months to a year and 6 months, or let's say within the first 18 months, it's going to prohibit lifetime benefit limits on insurance policies. This would impact employer-based as well as individual policies.
Interesting.
It's going to eliminate or prohibit coverage rescissions and cancellations. What that means is you've heard the horror stories about insurance companies just up and canceling someone's policy. And usually it's followed in the media by when they needed it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me, I haven't been in the business forever, but I can tell you in the 8 years I've been in the business, I haven't run across a rescission other than the fact that the insurance company believes they found intentional misrepresentation. That's still allowed under the law. If someone commits fraud or misrepresentation on an insurance application and they do get a policy and later it's found to be fraudulent or that they misrepresented the truth, then that insurance company still has the right to rescind or cancel that policy.
But it's tightened, but it's tightened the noose around the insurance companies where they can't do it as freely as they used to. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I don't know how freely it really was, but you always hear the horror stories, and I'm not taking up for the insurance companies. I certainly think they bear a burden in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the same time, they're still in this. No one's in business to take a loss, and everyone is in business to make a profit. That's what makes America great.
Well,
you mentioned more thing under the insurance reform,
yeah, two
more things that are very important. Dependent coverage up to age 26 is mandated, and again, that's going to happen sometime in the next 6 months, the next 18 months it's going to go into play. And pre-existing condition exclusions for dependent children under 19 years of age are prohibited. Again, within the next 6 to 18 months, all group and potentially, this is more important for the individual market, potentially all individual market plans will have to allow children, dependent children under the age of 19 to come onto a plan, and they will not hold pre-existing conditions against them. That could be something as simple as seasonal allergies to something as very expensive and complex as juvenile diabetes or other more immediate and potentially life-threatening issues where the insurance company was able to hold those conditions at bay to help offset the cost of having those conditions. Things continue to trickle in all the way through the year 2014. Most of the major things will be in place, assuming nothing's changed in the legislation by the year 2014.
Okay. Well, now, this sounds like it's a positive thing in some ways for the end user initially because, you know, obviously less constraints, obviously easier to qualify for insurance, and you can't be excluded for pre-existing conditions. However, you know, when we look at it from an economic viewpoint, you know, nothing is free, and the insurance companies eventually will have to bear the cost of all this, and it will drive many of them, many of their profits down for sure. Now, there's over 2,000 pages of this stuff, and I'm sure nobody's even really read the whole thing. I mean, I'm sure there's nobody even really knows all of the details. But now, let's talk about it from the angle of a business owner. Now,
okay,
how is the business owner going to be impacted by all these changes?
There will be a lot of changes for the business owner. There will be a lot of changes for the employee benefit, particularly the health insurance that the business owner may currently be offering. A good thing for the business owner is the fact that there is a, let's put it this way, for the small business owner, and that's the backbone of our economy here in Oklahoma, that's the backbone of the national economy, small business. Businesses that have currently 25 or fewer employees who offer health insurance, and assuming the income for those employees is less than $50,000 a year, those employers are going to be rewarded, albeit marginally, with a tax credit. And that is something that's going to happen very, very quickly. Again, the details are still in the pudding. A lot of this is going to be worked out over the coming weeks and months between the federal government, the IRS, the DHS, the federal DHS, and the state insurance commissioners, state DHS. There's so many fingers in the pie, Jerry, that it's going to be really difficult to see this coming clean anytime soon, if it ever does. But small business owners should know that there is a tax credit to help them with part of the cost they have to bear for these employees that are making less than $50,000 a year, as long as they have 25 or fewer employees on their payroll. And those would be considered W-2 employees, not subcontractors that they are just contracting with. These would be W-2 employees. Now, on the downside, there are certainly some mandatory responsibilities that are going to slowly come into play between now and the year 2014. The employers are going to have to pick up more and more of these responsibilities. There are some taxes that may come into play if they hold, and the luxury tax, the Cadillac tax that was talked about so prevalently in the media, mm-hmm. is still in the legislation, mm-hmm. although it would not be imposed on employer-sponsored health insurance until the year 2018, based on this original legislation that was signed into law. Mm-hmm. But there are additional taxes that come into play, or additional fees or penalties that may come into play over time between essentially now and the year 2014, and then again between 2014 and 2018.
Now, this federal tax credit is somewhat reminiscent, although I'm sure it's very different, but it's somewhat reminiscent of what you've been spearheading here in Oklahoma. And many of the listeners that are listening to us are not in Oklahoma, but they probably have their own versions of this possibly, and I don't know, you would know, but of something called Insure Oklahoma, where it was a state credit that they were offering to, they had some, I don't know if it was federal, but we'll explain Insure Oklahoma to us. And is that type of program also available in other states?
Sure, Jerry. It is an absolutely great program. It was one of the first of its kind established in the country. And again, it's called Insure Oklahoma, and it's based in Oklahoma for Oklahoma businesses, predominantly small businesses. And right now the limitation is if you had a business with 99 or fewer employees, and you offer employer-based health care to those eligible employees, then you would also qualify for the Insure Oklahoma program, which is household size and income-based, based on the qualifications of a particular employee. Now, people are starting to go, I'm about to tune out on this. Let me break it down clear and simple. The program is a blend of public money. Part of the money comes from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, which are the federal dollars. Part of the money comes from our tobacco tax here in Oklahoma, a sin tax, so to speak. Those dollars combined go into a pot. In that pot, an employer gets reimbursed for a portion of the cost of the health insurance for a qualified employee. Again, the employee has to qualify based on household size and household income. But let me give you an idea. Let's say you've got one single guy working in your machine shop, you know, turning screws or something, and he's making $11.79 an hour, and he works a full 40-hour work week. He doesn't have anyone else in his household, no children, no spouse, and he doesn't work at any other jobs. That's equivalent to about $24,500 in annual income. That guy would qualify for Insure Oklahoma as it stands today. So if the health insurance premium, and I'm going to use round numbers to keep it simple for all of us, if the health insurance premium for that guy is $100, the state will reimburse 60% of that cost back to the employer.
Wow.
60%. $60 out of every $100 goes back to the employer to help to offset the cost of the health insurance. That means the employer, instead of paying a minimum of 50% of that employee's health insurance plan, only pays 25%, and the employee is only asked to pay 15%.
Wow, so everybody saves money.
You look at these guys that are working paycheck to paycheck, week to week, trying to make their bills, pay their rent, pay for their car, take care of a family on low, low incomes. Most of the time, they can't afford the health insurance. They just pass it by because they can't simply afford to take any money out of pocket. If suddenly the state steps in and says, hey, we've got a great public-private partnership. We're not going to tell you how to run your business. We're not going to tell you what health insurance plan to buy. You choose amongst all the major insurance carriers in the state and pick a qualified plan. We'll reimburse the cost for anybody who qualifies. I have some groups that I'm working with that have 10, 15 employees that are qualified for this Insure Oklahoma. Mm. We have one group here in the Tulsa metro area that we've helped within the last year, and they have recouped 25% of their monthly insurance premium using this particular plan. It is an absolute model. This is what, you know, the United States government should have been looking at, this plan and others that may be similar to it out in the states, because it is a perfect blend of public-private partnership in that you still go to the private insurance company to buy your insurance, and as long as it's qualified and as long as you follow the rules of the game, which, you know, if you have a responsible agent that can help you walk through that minefield, you can get it done if you're a business owner, and it will reimburse you a tremendous amount of money and cut your costs down so that that's not such a burden to you, the business owner, nor your employees themselves, particularly those that are in the lowest of the income levels.
Jeff, now this is available in Oklahoma. Do you know if there's any other states that have similar programs like this?
I know other states were working in that direction, but I do predominantly all of my business right here in Oklahoma, so I have not really ventured outside Oklahoma to look specifically. I know I asked at one point, probably a year and a half ago, if they had a similar program in Kansas, because I had a prospective group up there. I was going to try to clue them on it. Kansas at that time did not have one. They may have something now. Texas was in the same boat. They hadn't set something like that up. Each of the states, of course, are independently regulated within their own state boundaries. That's what makes insurance such a state-by-state issue, and that's where some of the rub comes from with regard to this legislation, is that it's a state's rights issue, not a federal issue for the most part. But Insure Oklahoma really should have been used as a great model. They should have held that up as a torch, a beaming torch of public-private partnership and keeping the private industry and the private sector on the forefront of helping people with their health care needs and getting the insurance they need at a very, very affordable rate.
Well, Jeff, we're all out of time. I really, really appreciate all the things that you've brought to the program. If people are listening out there and they want to contact you, now, if somebody's living in the state of Maine, we really can't help them, I assume. But if someone's living in Oklahoma and they want to find out what you've been talking about, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, anybody that's listening to your program within the boundaries of the 50 states of the United States can certainly email us, and we can try to put them in contact with people in their states that can help them as well, because there are highly qualified agents in all 50 states that are members of the National Association of Health Underwriters, which is our primary health insurance group nationwide. But feel free to write us here at Premier Partners. Run it all together, like one big word, the word Premier, and then the word Partners with an S on the end, at cox.net.
Okay, Jeff, and would you spell that, the Premier part?
Yes, Premier Partners, P as in Paul, Artners as in Sam, at cox.net.
That's cox.net. Okay, Jeff. Hey,
yes,
listen,
sir.
thank you so much for being on the program. We look forward to talking to you maybe in the future. We'll have you back on.
Be happy to do it. Jerry, you have a great day. Good to see that spring has sprung here in Oklahoma.
No kidding. I'll talk to you soon.
On the other side of this break, we'll come back with Jerry's commentary, America's growing social insecurity, in which Jerry tackles the Social Security crisis. You are listening to The Jerry Robinson Show on the web at www.jrmi.org.
Hi friends, this is Jerry Robinson. I trust that you appreciate our hard-hitting Christian approach to today's economic, geopolitical, and cultural news each and every week right here on The Jerry Robinson Show. You know, every week my staff and I are hard at work to bring you the most cutting-edge insights to help you understand the times that we're living in. As you know, the Bible instructs us to understand the times, and Jesus even tells us to watch and be sober as we see the day of the Lord at hand. As we look around, most of us find our present-day situation simply breathtaking. And I believe that we are living in truly prophetic times that the Bible speaks directly about. Here at The Jerry Robinson Show, we have a great vision to see God's truth about our generation and our unique times spread across the nation through the radio airwaves. But in order for this important message to wake up our sleeping nation, we simply must have your help. In 2010, we have plans to get this program into several large radio markets right here in the U.S. and even globally. Will you stand with us in our effort to get the truth of God's Word out to America and to the world? Never before in our nation's history have hard-hitting, truth-telling, God-fearing ministries been so important to our collective future. We simply must go forth with the truth. I ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner with our ministry with a gift of only $25 per month. You can make your pledge by calling our ministry hotline at 918-827-5764, or you can log on to our website and donate online. Our website is www.jrmi.org. Friends, become a part of the solution and help us confront the lies of this age. Call now, 918-827-5764, or log on to our website at www.jrmi.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in your gift. Hi, friends. This is Jerry Robinson from the Jerry Robinson Radio Show. Are you looking for a trusted financial advisor who shares your same spiritual beliefs and values? You know, each month here at our organization, we receive numerous requests for biblically based financial planning advice and counsel. And in response, we've created something known as the Christian Financial Advisor Network. Now, this is simply an organization of Christian financial planners and advisors who provide biblically based financial planning services to clients nationwide. We have now expanded our advising to 27 different states across the country. If you're interested in learning more about the Christian Financial Advisor Network to find a Christian financial advisor for yourself and your family, contact us at makersgroupfinancial.com. Simply go to our website, fill out the form, and we will be back in touch with you within 48 hours. makersgroupfinancial.com.
Welcome back to The Jerry Robinson Show, educating, equipping, and empowering believers to think and thinkers to believe on the web at www.jrmi.org. And now it's time for Jerry's commentary, America's Growing Social Insecurity, and now your host, Jerry Robinson.
Thanks, Jay. Well, this week's commentary is on the topic of the Social Security crisis. According to a recent report released by the Social Security Administration, this year Social Security will pay out more in benefits than it receives in payroll taxes. Now, while this report may simply sound like another depressing financial headline, this one has some teeth to it. According to projections by the Congressional Budget Office, Social Security was not supposed to experience an upside-down year until the year 2016. Now, this report highlights the mounting problems facing Social Security in the future. Last year, Social Security recipients were informed that they would not receive a cost of living adjustment to their benefits in the year 2010. This was the first year the benefits did not have a COLA increase since the automatic adjustments were put into place back in 1975. To understand the full extent of America's growing Social Security crisis, we must also have a basic understanding of America's changing demographics. According to U.S. government birth records, officially recorded since 1910, there are about 78 million baby boomers alive today. Each of these 78 million Americans, or many of them, have paid large amounts into government entitlement programs, most often through payroll deductions. Until now, these 78 million baby boomers have been funding the entitlement system for current retirees. But last year, the story began to change as the first wave of 3.2 million boomers turned 62. Each of them will be eligible under the current government standards to apply for early retirement benefits and receive a monthly Social Security check for the rest of their lives. Instead of paying into the system, they will begin taking from the system. Later in 2011, as this first wave begins turning 65, these citizens will be eligible for subsidized health care benefits under the Medicare system. Finally, in 2012, those of the 3.2 million early baby boomers who opted not to take their early retirement benefits will reach the age of 66 and will qualify for their full share of Social Security benefits. It is highly likely that a large majority of retiring boomers will take the early retirement option due to the perceived weakness in the Social Security system. And this first wave is literally just beginning. Over the course of the next two decades, the remainder of the 78 million baby boomers, or 10,000 people every single day, will retire and become financial and medical dependents of current U.S. taxpayers. They will all retire, and they will all demand their fair share of the entitlement pie, which includes an assortment of benefits, including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid benefits. These three entitlement programs currently make up more than 40% of the federal government's annual budget, and this percentage is expected to increase dramatically as baby boomers begin taking from the system instead of giving into it. So what does all this mean to you as a taxpaying citizen of the United States of America? Well, I wish I had better news. The harsh truth is your nation, America, is bankrupt. America has mortgaged its future, and it sought to delay paying the bill for as long as possible. Unfortunately, a combination of poor monetary and fiscal policies coupled with an entitlement-crazed generation has led our nation to the precipice of disaster. And the fruit of this noxious combination will be tasted in just a few short years. If all this sounds like it's going to cost the U.S. government a lot of money, you would be completely wrong. This enormous bill created by this entitlement crisis is not going to fall on the U.S. government. It's going to fall squarely upon U.S. taxpayers. Hardworking, tax-paying citizens are going to foot the bill for the retirement and medical benefits for the largest group of senior citizens in American history. Finally, to fully understand the financial pain that these broken entitlement programs will inflict upon our nation, consider the reality of our unfunded obligations. Many citizens are now aware that America has an unprecedented total national debt of nearing $13 trillion. But you may be shocked to learn that this amount does not reflect what the federal government has promised to pay millions of Americans in entitlement benefits down the road. Those future obligations put our real debt figure at over $107 trillion. It's a staggering sum that is about as large, well, actually it's twice as large, as the total household net worth of the entire United States. Ironically, America's failed entitlement programs created by politicians underneath the guise of aiding our nation's citizens will instead impoverish our children and our grandchildren. While our leaders in Washington continue blindly down the path of excessive spending, they are adding astronomical debt loads to America's economic burden. As the various entitlement systems collapse, big government's answer will be predictable: massive tax hikes and more money printing. History is merciful in telling us where this will lead. And so, Jay, I think it's time for the people of this nation to ask, what are they doing to protect themselves? What are they doing to protect their families from the greatest debtor nation in world history?
Well, Jerry, that's some really sobering news to think about there. All right, after the break, we'll be back with our weekly segment on the road to a one world currency and your question of the week. And you're listening to The Jerry Robinson Show. New figures released show that home foreclosures in the U.S. had reached record numbers at the end of 2009. And while these large amounts of foreclosures point to how depressed the American economy has become, it also indicates a remarkable opportunity for investors. That is why Jerry Robinson Ministries International has produced a special report on audio CD entitled Explosive Profits in Foreclosures. In this one-hour, cutting-edge special audio report, you will learn about one of the biggest investment opportunities in the United States right now, foreclosed real estate property. You will learn how you can find foreclosed properties to buy for pennies on the dollar, secrets to finding money to fund your real estate properties, why real estate should be considered as an integral part of your investment portfolio, where real estate investments should fit into your overall financial plan, why there are 10,000 foreclosures per day in America, and why Jerry believes more are coming. There's even a special section that discusses how you can protect yourself if you are currently facing a foreclosure. This is a timely resource that will explain in layman's terms that what you should know and do in today's volatile economic times. Remember, times of great crisis produce times of great opportunity to those who are informed. Arm yourself with the information that you need by calling our ministry hotline at 918-827-5764 and ask for your copy of Explosive Profits in Foreclosures. This hour-long audio CD is specially priced at only $14.95, and if you order right now, we will ship it for free. Call right now, 918-827-5764, or log on to our website at www.jrmi.org. Order your copy of Jerry Robinson's Explosive Profits in Foreclosures and get ready to turn the current economic crisis into the opportunity of a lifetime. Supplies are limited, so place your order today.
Hi, friends. This is Jerry Robinson, your host here at The Jerry Robinson Show. I've just finished taping our latest DVD entitled Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis. After putting this DVD together, I have to tell you, I believe this is probably the best DVD presentation that we've ever done here at our ministry. It's an hour long, but we have jam-packed this DVD with so much information. Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis. It contains the freshest data on the U.S. financial crisis, and it's filled with our most up-to-date strategies and forecasts. Additionally, in this DVD, I specifically talk about diversifying your savings according to our allocation model that we use here at JRMI. You will not believe the historic returns that we discovered as we back-tested our savings recommendations. If your goal is to understand and profit from the current economic chaos, look no further. For the entire month of April, this brand new DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, will be on sale at our website, jrmi.org, for only $19.95, and that's free shipping. We never charge for shipping at our store. We hate paying for shipping. We figure you do too. So $19.95, free shipping, or for just $10 more, you can get this brand new DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, plus our latest webinar, the webcast that we tape. It's about 2 hours long. It's called The State of the Economy, Forecasting the Future. If you do not have a chance to participate in this webinar, you'll know that they are actually $29 to $39 each. Well, with this special, it's only $10 to add to this new DVD. So basically, for $29.95, you get a copy of our latest DVD and this webinar. This webinar contains lots of information, also lots of Q&A. Questions that you might actually want to ask personally are actually answered in this webinar. $29.95, our latest DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, and our latest webinar, The State of the Economy, Forecasting the Future. It's an excellent deal. I urge you to act now. Contact us at 918-827-5764 or log on to our website at jrmi.org. Back to the Jerry Robinson Show. I'm your host, Jerry Robinson. So great to have you here as we move into our final segment, where we move into the road to the one world currency and your question of the week. And we're going to get things kicked off with our road to the one world currency.
All right. Our road to one world currency story this week is from Reuters. Riyadh meeting to seek ways to push Gulf currency union. Gulf leaders have endorsed a much-delayed plan for monetary union in the world's top oil-exporting region, despite the absence of the United Arab Emirates, the bloc's second-biggest economy after Saudi Arabia, and Oman. Now, Jerry, it looks to me like here comes one of those regional currencies we've been talking about in recent weeks. Do you think they can get it done without the UAE and Oman? And will this be the domino that starts the run to other regional currencies?
Well, the Middle East has been focused upon this for some time. In fact, they even had a timeline that was going to have the single currency in the Gulf region set to be announced by 2010 for actually issuing common notes and coins. And they actually abandoned that last year, saying that the Joint Monetary Council would draw a new timeline for the project. Yeah, I think that what we're seeing here is the initial run-up to what we're going to see as a common economic and monetary union in the Middle East. These OPEC nations have a lot to gain from this. If they can issue their own currency, the next step is obviously to be able to use that currency for their oil. And that, of course, would be a fantastic boon to their economy if they were able to make that work. So I believe that what we're seeing here is what we've been talking about all along. We're going to see a move by Arab countries to establish their own quote-unquote European Union. It'll be a European Union-style monetary union in the Middle East. There's even been talk about how they've been willing to accept Iran into this group. And, of course, Iran, which, you know, is obviously very beleaguered, is very much, you know, been belittled by much of the West. So they would actually accept Iran and Turkey. And Turkey is that pivotal nation because they've been trying to gain access into Europe for so long. And Europe has basically said, you're too Muslim. And, of course, they don't really fit into the Middle East either because they're very secular. They're not highly, radical Islam. So Turkey is in a very interesting situation, and they're actually gaining acceptance in this new European Union-style Middle East currency union that we may see in the future. So we're going to keep our eyes really, really, really close on this because we believe that what we're going to see over the course of the next several years is a common economic, monetary, and even possibly a political union that's going to arise right there in the Middle East. And our next segment we're going to move into is our question of the week.
All right, Jerry, the question of the week comes from Dennis Kimball from Brandon, Florida. It says, I hear forecasts from many like yourself that we are headed towards inflation, perhaps hyperinflation as we move forward in the financial crisis. At the same time, others such as Harry Dent indicate we will experience deflation as a massive contraction of the credit market will more than offset the inflationary dynamics that increasing the money supply would normally create. So my question is, which is it that I should be preparing for, inflation or deflation?
Well, this is a very good question. You know, in economics, there are essentially two camps regarding our current economic crisis. One camp believes that the United States is going to experience inflation as we head into the future. They believe that the dollar is going to decline, bond prices are going to move lower, stock prices are going to move higher as a function of currency debasement, and sharply higher commodities, including gold, will occur. The other camp believes that the United States is going to experience deflation as we head into the future. They believe that the dollar is going to rise due to deleveraging and debt destruction. They believe that higher bond prices are going to be in the future, lower stock prices, lower commodity, lower gold as a function of the collapse of global demand. So as global demand goes down, the demand for commodities goes down. So which is it? Is America heading towards an inflationary depression or is it heading towards a deflationary depression? Well, based upon my reading of the situation, I know that there's many different views out there on this particular topic. I believe that what we're going to see in the near term is a move into inflation and then eventually massive inflation. Then that area will be followed by a period of deflation. And the reason that we say this is because we think about a pendulum. Right now, you know how a pendulum swings back and forth to the right and to the left. Well, that's exactly how I think is a proper way to view this economy. What's happened is that the pendulum is going to swing in one particular direction because so much money has been printed, so much reckless financial and fiscal and monetary policy has occurred that it's going to swing the pendulum in one direction. And of course, in an effort to swing the pendulum in the other direction, they're going to move it back to the other direction. And that, of course, as they apply the brakes on the economy and they try to slow down the money supply, and they try to bring it down to a place that's more safe, they're actually going to swing the pendulum in the opposite direction, and it will lead to a lack of global demand, and they will put the brakes on too hard. This is a very difficult process. I don't believe, as many people do, that all of this is highly intentional. I think that some of it could be, But I think that anyone who was trying to manage this economy as in a global economy would find that this is a very challenging, challenging environment to be trying to manage a global economy. And so I think that we're simply kind of in uncharted territory. We never have been here before. And I think that we're going to make a lot of mistakes on our way of trying to bring together a global economy in the NJ.
Again, sobering thoughts here as we look at the current and future situation of the American economy.
Well, if people have any more questions, they can certainly send those to us at questions@jrmi.org. Jay, it's great to have you here on the program. Another one in the can. It's a really great program that we do every single week, and I really appreciate the fact that our listeners are so supportive by sending us emails and comments and giving us encouraging notes. If you're listening by oneplace.com or by truthandradio.org or just simply on our website, would you drop us an email and tell us that this radio show is blessing you? We'd love to hear from you. Love to know. Obviously, in radio land, we can't see you, so we would love to hear from you to tell us how we're doing. And if you have anything that you'd like to tell us or any segments you'd like to see on the show in the future, please let us know. All right, well, for myself and for Jay Blevins, we encourage you to remember to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added to you. We'll see you next week.
Amen.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests of the Jerry Robinson Show do not necessarily represent the views of Jerry Robinson Ministries International Incorporated and Makers Group Financial LLC. Even though these are proven strategies, Jerry Robinson is not a financial advisor and his guests are not legal or tax advisors. You should always consult a trained financial advisor and/or tax advisor before making any financial decisions.